Hello, you're listening to Spoiler
Filled
Film
Conversation.
Hooray!
Yay!
Hooray. So, listener, how are you doing? Hope you're fine. You can't really answer me, so I'll just carry on. I'm Richard Nicholas, hello. With me today to talk about films and that is Anthony.
Hi.
And Abigail.
Hello.
Oh, those hellos are back, are they, Ab?
Yes.
Good. So, guys, we're here to talk about the film Ghost Dad, which just sounds ridiculous as a title for anything.
There's a lot of expectations there.
Yeah, Anthony picked it. So, Anthony, do you want to explain yourself with why you picked Ghost Dad?
Well, the weekend before I had to pick this, I ended up watching, like, these paranormal, like, documentaries on Sky somewhere. And I just had the most fun just ripping them apart. So I felt like I needed to extend that towards the film bin crew as well. So I wanted to do, like, a ghost story that we could rip into, I guess.
That is the best, most cynical reason for doing anything.
Yeah, but I know a couple of the members of the crew aren't so up on horror films, so that kind of took just threw a lot of them out the window. So I had to try and find good ghost films with happy, good ghosts who do funny things.
Yeah. I think we could do a horror, but it's so much more our cup of tea, this kind of fodder, really, isn't it?
Speak for yourself.
Oh, are you not? I just think usually we plumb for family movies and mediocrity. And I think maybe Ghost Dad wasn't quite up to mediocre. But we should get the details before we start ripping into, as you say, Ghost Dad. Who has the details and can read them out for me?
Me, I do, because it's my film, I guess. Ghost Dad, 1990. Directed by Sidney Poitier, people. Sidney Poitier.
That's pretty weird.
Written by Chris Reese, Brent Maddock, and S.S. Wilson. Stars Bill Cosby, Kimberly Russell, Denise Nicholas, Ian Bannon, as Sir Edith Moser. We'll get to him later. Christine Ebersole and Barry Corbin.
So those are the people to blame for Ghost Dad. That's not fair. Let's give it a fighting chance and start talking about it in not just a critical light, but in a celebratory light as well. Because in a way, I enjoyed it. For the reasons maybe it didn't intend to be enjoyed. Because it is a comedy. Well, would you guys agree it's a comedy? Sci-fi?
I laughed enough, I guess.
Yeah, it's a sci-fi family comedy. Kind of a vehicle for Bill Cosby, I guess. Figuratively, of course. Yeah, it's a weird one because it's just such a bad premise. I can't imagine what they would have done right anyway. But again, positively thinking. Anyone? Oh, expectations going in before we knew what it was. Abby, what about you?
The only thing I really knew about it was that the ghost dad in question was Bill Cosby. And to be honest, I don't know that much about Bill Cosby himself, so much as I've seen many impressions of Bill Cosby.
Yeah, he's a very, what's the word for when you impression someone a lot? He's a very impressioned guy. That's not right.
Impersonated.
Impersonated, thank you. He is that. And I think it's because it's, people like to go, you know, flibbity flobbity, flil flarn, flil flarn, flibbity flobbity. Oh, you know, I can't do one. Obviously, I can't. But other people like to do it well.
And I knew a little bit from, what's that show called? Is it just the Bill Cosby Show?
Yes, but I think he might have had more than one TV show.
There were a couple.
But so I'd seen like a couple of episodes of that, so I knew him the slightest bit, and then a bunch of impressions, and that kind of brought me in. It's like, oh, that's strange, strange man being a ghost. This could possibly be amusing.
Yeah, he's a cultural icon, and he's quite famous in America rather than Britain. But I think most people, if you said his name, people would know who you meant. With you, Abby, I thought it had potential to be funny. I knew from the title I would enjoy it to some extent. Because it's just... Oh, I just love that title. It sounds like a fake film that you just make up. Ghost Dad, starring Rob Schneider. He's a ghost and a dad. Ooh, hilarity will ensue. So that's it just is brilliant as a title, and that was enough. And Bill Cosby, I wanted more because he is a kind of caricature in my mind, because he's part real, part impersonation, as you say. Anthony, I mean, what were you expecting much from this film?
I guess so. I mean, I've seen the Bill Cosby show a few times, like, over the years, and it's funny. He's a funny guy. He's a funny-looking, sounding man. And
yeah.
I just guess there must be something there in this film if he's in it.
Yeah, so we're all on a similar page, I think. And then you start watching it, and it's quite early on, really, where you get a feel like, oh, the comedy in this is going to be quite weird and bad. Would you guys agree?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. It doesn't so much throw you in at the deep end as try to drown you.
Well, the first thing that happens, really, is to set up this idea that Bill Cosby is a busy dad who doesn't have time for his kids. He's a single dad as well. And he's got three kids, a young girl, a slightly older boy, and then a sort of teenager-y and a slightly more adult-like daughter as well. And he basically... plays them tapes. He gives them tapes with his recorded voice on instead of being there. So they sort of play them at bedtime because he's off being a busy working man in some generic office job. That's basically all we're given to say. He's not a good dad at the moment. Maybe he'll learn a lesson through presumably dying and becoming a ghost. And we're left going, is this really going to be it?
They kept faking out his death as well.
Yeah, that's the first kind of major thing, is faking... Will he, won't he die in this particular scene?
Which is weird, because I suppose, like, you're going in, and you know the film's called Ghost Dad. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, the only dad character introduced so far is going to be the ghost. But I still found it really weird that they just threw in all those... almost death scenes, because I don't know, it just seemed to come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's kind of morbid humour as well, this idea that, you know what's coming, the lift's going to break and he's going to die and he's going to be the only one. Is it coming? No, he's escaping that one. Ah, got you. And there's no really need to psych us out. I mean, just, you know, get on with it, innit, really. I think, actually, Anthony was talking to me about this before the podcast, and he said he thinks there might be a slight attempt at, like, a metaphor with the title of Ghost Dad. Is that right? What
yeah, I suppose. I mean, like, you're introduced to, like, the dad, but you only hear him. So it's kind of like he's not there. And also, he's not there for his children. He's a ghost dad.
Yeah, and I think that could have worked if they'd have played on this idea a bit more and really had a heartfelt attempt to say, you know, be there for your kids. And rather it goes on then to just be about stupid ghost concepts and ludicrous dilemmas that shouldn't happen in the first place.
They tried to resolve it, and they do sort of at the end. But they also leave a lot of things open.
They do. It's sort of... Oh, just... Well, to get back on to telling the story of the film anyway. Eventually, you know, Bill Cosby is killed. But the way they go with, the funny way they thought they'd put in the film for us to laugh at would be that an insane taxi driver goes on like a speeding like nut job rampage, and then eventually crashes them off a bridge, and then they fall in the sea, and or a river, and presumably die, even though he's gone into a coma and sort of died, and we're in weird, awkward spoiler territory. But basically, he dies for the purposes of the plot, as far as we're concerned. What did you guys make of this weird taxi driver element of the film?
I didn't really understand if he was meant to be someone important.
The taxi driver, you mean?
Yeah.
Like a famous nut job or something?
No, like he does, like his thing is like he worships the devil.
Yeah.
Mm. And like when that came up, I kind of thought like, is he like a minion from, like a demon minion from hell? But yeah. No, he's just a random crazy person. And that's it.
Because this is about ghosts, there is an implied larger supernatural world.
Yeah.
So he could very well have been in league with the devil.
I suppose, but like many things this film does, it doesn't make that clear at all.
It kind of glosses over the notion that there's a heaven and a hell. And it just kind of, I mean, it kind of just accepts right off the bat, there's a heaven and a hell, and you're in limbo, therefore you're a ghost. So don't worry about it. It'll be fine. It doesn't really care about mortality. It's not concerned with the finality of death and the idea of coping with the fact that potentially you're dead or your children are going to find out that you're a ghost and therefore dead somewhere. Like, it doesn't seem to care about that. And is more focused on what would it be like if Bill Cosby couldn't be seen in daylight, can pass through walls, and can't pick things up properly, and occasionally floats off whenever it's funny for the plot to do that.
Do you know what? What you just said was probably the way it was pitched to like the executives. We got Bill Cosby, and he's a ghost. It's like, we're going to give you money.
Yeah, it is mad. And I think it would have been interesting to do something that at least addressed the problems involved. Because the strangest thing for me, outside of the dopiness of it all, is Bill Cosby doesn't seem to mind that he's dead. He starts off, once he realizes, I'm a ghost, this is weird, he's like, ooh, I should continue doing my job and make sure I get the raise I need to get health care for my children. Never mind, you know, potentially... I don't know, things that will go through my head. Will I be going to heaven? Is there a heaven? Is this final? Is there any way I can live? Am I actually a ghost? You know, like, is this a dream? Is my wife is dead, so is she a ghost? All of these things. He doesn't think of anything like this. Did you find it weird that Bill Cosby just, like, dopily shrugs everything off?
Yeah, but it wasn't just him either. Like, his family are awfully accepting really quickly. And then his, like, eldest daughter, like, just doesn't behave the way a person would if they found out their dad was dead.
Yeah.
Like, she still acts like a stroppy teenager.
Yeah, she goes from surprised to kind of annoyed really quickly.
Yeah.
So I suppose his kind of weird, let's just get on with it attitude is, you know, it's in a few of the other characters too.
Yeah, it is like everyone's just on board with this idea that we've got a wacky dad who's now is partly invisible, partly not there, and it's just like regular dad, only, you know, a few quirks are going to happen. It's really a strange idea that they can just move on with it, but like you say, everyone's so accepting, you just go, all right then, whatever. But it's not like the comedy's that strong, so I don't know. The scene, I guess, where that's pivotal is Bill Cosby turns up to his house, then realises he's a ghost because he falls through the door. And just
through the carpet.
Yeah, but only down to like a few inches. For some reason, he can land firmly a little bit below the carpet. I don't know if there's a ghost floor there or something. I don't know why he just doesn't fall constantly through an abyss, you know?
That is one of the major problems with the film, though, is that it doesn't have a, like... It doesn't obey... It doesn't have any rules.
Mm.
Like, Bill Cosby can walk through doors, but he can open doors. He can't hold things, but he can. He can't be seen in the light, but sometimes it's quite light and people can see him.
There's no degrees of it, is there? It's either the lights are off enough to see you, the lights are on enough to not. There's no, oh, I can only see your face. There's like, where light comes in through the window, it isn't like he's less clear. Like, there's none of that.
Yeah. It's not based, there's no rules to it.
It doesn't have rules to break, and it doesn't make sense with the rules that it tries to establish. If it suggests he can pass through things, he gets over it so quickly, it's almost like, well, what's the point of having that as a conceit? it's weird when he discovers he's a ghost, and he's coming to terms, he's getting a grip, and he's getting a feel for how you behave now that you're a spirit existing in our world or whatever. And that's fine. He does that. But then, obviously, his kids come in and see him and think he's fine. And he's kind of surprised because he's realised he's a ghost and they don't know. Or I don't even know. They just have a moment where the kids are aware he's there until, you know, the lights go on. And it's like, oh, my God, he vanished, you know? And that whole scene happens, and the kids, they don't scream enough and run away and cry and be frightened, because that is what would happen,
I suppose.
Well, the little kid in particular, she's so super fine with it, it's just wrong.
It is. I mean, maybe a little kid has the sort of imagination and knows less about how the world works. So to them it's just, oh yeah, you're a ghost, that makes sense to me. Okay, like, what does that mean? But the older ones should be like they instantly be worried about, I don't know, where the body of Bill Cosby is. I mean, Bill Cosby knows the last time he was alive he was in a river, but he doesn't care about his body anymore. Like, oh, there's so much wrong with the very stupid family who are dealing with this problem.
Yeah, they don't even search for it or anything like that, do they? Or even, like, call a hospital or a morgue or anything.
Yeah.
Not till really much later on. Like, at the end.
Yeah, but it's just an accident then.
Yeah.
Oh, until another character comes in and conveniently tells them that where they are.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that when we get to it.
The first comedy idea that the writers and maybe Bill Cosby thought was gold is, oh, I'm a ghost. What's the obvious gag here? I know. I can communicate telepathically, but it freaks my kids out that I'm not moving my mouth. So I'll have a really disturbing scene where I try and match my mouth to my telepathic messages and just end up making this horrible, disturbing noise and just pulling faces the way only Bill Cosby can. Like, it was just, what are you doing? Please stop. And it was terrifying. Were you guys scared?
Yeah, it's kind of all the comedy he does in this scene, I suppose, that it's kind of the pulling funny faces, making weird noises is his thing, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
And it's like the most terrifying thing in the whole movie when he tries to do it.
Yeah.
It is. That's the thing, like, I didn't think this movie was funny, because all of the stuff they were doing for comedy was just
cheap,
frightening and creepy and strange.
Yeah. And just not very, just pulling faces and making noises is just lame. They also, like, there was a bit where, in order to communicate to his kids, who couldn't hear him initially because he hadn't figured out telepathy, he also did some terrible charades to explain that they then got very quickly. Like, he's terrible at charades in it, and yet they seem to nail, oh, he's a ghost, you know?
It was, wasn't it? He just kind of, like, puffed out his face and was just like, how is that a ghost?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I'd know how to communicate that, but I would definitely, have done better than Bill Cosby's ballooning his face and gesturing with gestures that mean nothing.
Who comes up with the telepathy thing anyway? It's just like, oh yeah, ghosts communicate through telepathy. You have to do that now, Dad.
Yeah.
It's like, does he? Okay.
It's the son who looks like he's from a different family.
Well, it's just that weird thing where, okay, what are the rules of ghosts as we vaguely know them based on movies? Is that they kind of, you can't, they're not, they like kind of see through them sometimes a bit. There might be an element of being invisible, and they can pass through walls. Are there any other common conceits with ghosts?
Usually they can choose who sees them, I guess.
Yeah, it's maybe not everyone can. Yeah, it's, you know, the element of being trapped in limbo is a rule that they obey, I guess, but they don't do anything with it. He's just there, still trapped in the Earth world.
Yeah, there's usually that they're stuck on Earth for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, they've got, it's referred to as unfinished business. And it's fine that he had unfinished business, but it wasn't, but they didn't pitch it that way.
No, if anything, they turned it into a really dopey thing where, yeah, it's just a genetic thing in our family. We often get trapped in the ghost world for some reason. That's like, what? Your family are genetically likely to be ghosts. What? You know? Like, there's some insane anecdote about his grandfather who was trapped in a costume, but also died, sort of. I didn't even understand when they tried to explain away why Bill Cosby became a ghost.
No, he had a ghost dad too, for a bit.
Or something. It was definitely, and didn't make any sense.
No, it didn't.
It's like the rest of this film.
Yeah. So, you know, we have, you know, plenty of these jokes that involve ghosts not being able to pick things up and, like, drinking something and it falling through you and forgetting that you're a ghost and stuff. But the other thing that was kind of weird that they liked to do as a joke involving him being a ghost was he seemed to be very easy. Well, the next part of the film was he suddenly floats away into the ceiling at a kind of pivotal moment. These kids are starting to understand how this works. And then Bill Cosby's like, ooh, I'm floating away through the ceiling, help! Oh, this is hilarious and terribly disturbing to the viewer, but normal to the people watching in the film. It was weird. I mean,
taking us to Edith.
To what, sorry?
To Edith.
Oh, that was his name, or Edith, or they did a terrible running joke involving this guy's name.
Oh god, it was, wasn't it?
So hilarious.
Brought it up like 3 times.
I like to think it was Bill Cosby had a bit of stand-up comedy he didn't use, and he was just like, I've always thought that people called Edith are kidding themselves that they think their name isn't Edith. And it's like, I've never heard of anyone being called Edith, but I don't know that saying they have a girl's name is that funny either. You know? So odd. So does anyone want to have a crack at explaining what happens after Bill Cosby disappears from his kids' lives for a bit and pops to, you know, merry old England?
Well, we are given the explanation of what's going on by a British guy, a weird British guy. He's pretty much solely there to go, oh, you're a ghost, this is what you can do, and here is what you have to do by the end of the film.
But in a way that doesn't really help Bill Cosby, because he's a mad scientist who somehow vacuum-cleaned him from America in the spirit world. I don't understand how he got Bill Cosby to turn up. But basically, he wants to do paranormal experiments on Bill Cosby. Isn't that right?
Mm.
And he's not willing to
investigate him.
Yeah. But he's not willing to talk to Bill Cosby and explain, oh, it's okay, you're a ghost. You know, I don't know how you'd reason with a ghost that you want to do experiments on them, but you could at least be clear as to what's going on for Bill. Because we get, as movie watchers, what he's setting up, but Bill's just like, what's going on? I can't talk to you. I'm doing science, you idiot. You don't understand anything. You're so stupid. You know?
He does fix his voice, though.
Well, thank goodness for crazy.
That's one good thing.
Yeah.
Plus, like, how many chances must this guy have to, like, be able to trap a ghost and, like, study it? It can't be very many, so he's very willing to just let him go once he's got him.
Yeah, because basically Bill Cosby's like, oh, I have children to look after. And it's like, yeah, so loads of people die, unfortunately. So, I mean, I think it's better to further science. And it's like, no, but it's... But I have children and like, my wife is already dead. I mean, maybe, actually, it didn't occur to him that maybe his wife had met this guy when she was a ghost. Doesn't worry Bill. But yeah, it is just this odd thing of he manages to go, play the sympathy card and go, all right, I guess I don't have to do scientific experiments on you. You can go back to America and do your job or something. Weird.
Yeah. Like, a lot of the characters in this film feel like, oh, we need a person to do this. Okay, let's make them really strange, or it's like a major stereotype. Like, in this one, you've got, like, the crazy British scientist.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, the woman who Bill Cosby's attracted to, who is, like, a total, like... Well, I won't go as far as, like, saying she's a prostitute-like woman.
No, it's sort of that middle suburban...
The kind of lusty kind of... perfect kind of, like, neighbour who you might get saucy with. And then he has a boss who is, like... the worst boss ever, just like angry and you know.
Yeah, it's stereotype cliche land without any depth or effort to the characters, really. So yeah, Bill Cosby has a weird side tangent with his scientist, but basically ends up back in his life. And his kind of insane scheme is to, you know, see this, he's somehow a crucial member of the workforce. I don't know why when someone's off and their key to like signing the deal or whatever it is Bill Cosby has to do and making presentations, why is there no backup? Is there no other adult in the whole industry? I mean, even his supervisors and bosses can't seem to, you know, make the deal happen without him. I don't understand that element.
If you pay very close attention to like the dialogue, mm-hmm. you find out that if he seals the deal, he will then be promoted
and get the health insurance that he needs for his kids.
But you really have to search through the film for these little nuggets of information. If you miss them by like a second, they're gone. And through this film, I was wondering, why is it so important that he has to seal the deal? How does that make everything
okay?
Yeah. Until like a moment later on where he has to take a health physical.
Yeah.
Am I like, oh, okay, I get it now.
Yeah, okay. But that's not so much my problem. I understood that was the idea. I didn't understand why he was so, like, why the business couldn't cope without Bill Cosby. I get that Bill Cosby needs to do it to get the promotion, but surely you're not that desperate that you're going to be constantly hassling Bill Cosby to, like, if he's off ill or in a coma as he actually was, you know, surely someone could step in and do the deal or something. Like, it wound me up how rubbish all the other people in his workplace were. They couldn't do his job while he was away. But that's a minor niggle, really, compared to the leaps in logic of Bill Cosby thinking, I can't pick up things, I am invisible in daylight, I know that I can still do my job, no one will notice if we just close some curtains. So stupid. I mean, what did you think of Bill Cosby's plan, Abby?
I thought it was incredibly obtuse. Seemed to be over concerned before he died, and then as soon as he was dead, he just decided, no, I can't be dead because my children have to have health insurance. No, I can't be dead. And he was neither in denial nor accepting it.
Yeah, it wasn't a denial issue. It was just he thought, it's perfectly acceptable, I'll get away with this, at a time where it's like, well, you can't... Come on, Bill, think about this for a moment. There is no way an partially invisible man who can't get control of whether he passes through a door or not... You can't fool a whole workplace, and yet somehow they drag it out so that he closes enough curtains, turns off enough lights, does his weird business meetings in the dark enough, and gets to grips with holding things and talking long enough to look like he can turn up to work. And then he has to have a physical. And it's at that point where you go, oh, ah-ha-ha, he's a ghost and he's going to try and pass a physical. And it has to try... You kind of wonder, how do you pass a physical? And then, does anyone want to have a go at explaining the doctor scene and how Bill Cosby solves that problem?
he just does it in such... There is potential for comedy in this.
Potential being the key word.
But
there.
The things that they do, it's like he takes a heartbeat, he plays a recording.
Where did he get a recording of a heartbeat from? I don't know.
Like, he needs an X-ray, he gets a skeleton.
That was stupid as well. That's like an X-ray that has a doctor can't tell the difference between an actual X-ray and the outline of like a plastic skeleton that presumably has metal pins in, and there's no like anything else, no organs that come up at all. Like, I guess children and family comedy, that can be well done, Bill. But I was kind of annoyed at that.
Like I said, like, the potential was there, and then what they come up with is just a dud. And it's like, oh, God, really, is that it?
Yeah, and it wasn't a very intense medical, can I listen to your heart, can I take an X-ray, you're fine, you know? It's ridiculous. Surely they're more comprehensive than that.
Yeah. They also throw in a urine sample joke.
Oh, that was
with nasty. A weird joke with like an old man who somehow understands that he's a ghost
and keeps being scared by how weird. I mean, you know, that's fair enough. One person being scared is like, oh, they're hysterical old man. It's kind of an obvious joke to go with, but I find it kind of disturbing when it's like Bill Cosby nicking someone else's urine. It's just like, what is Bill Cosby doing such a seedy activity for? This is not right. I guess that leads into another thing that I found a little bit seedy, because he's quite a wholesome character, Bill Cosby. But he also he has another ridiculous meeting where all of the people from work turn up to see why he didn't come in, because, you know, he's been distracted with life problems and being a ghost and dead problems, I suppose. But they're having a business meeting in his house, and he decides this is a good opportunity for me to continue dating my neighbour, who might go off in a huff if I don't, you know, follow up on dates now that I'm dead. So he goes off and sort of has a weird argument with her. Like, he wraps himself up so that he can travel in daylight like the Invisible Man, and then proceeds to have implied ghost sex with her.
All whilst this business meeting is supposed to be going on.
Like, and he goes and scares that kid. It's just wrong. He has no logic as a person.
He just has terrible priorities. It's like, the first thing is, you're not prioritising up the fact that you're dead enough. Then you're not prioritising up the fact that you're going to cause your kids trauma. Then, after you've gone through with the work thing, at least prioritise getting through the work thing, not, oh no, my relationship's going to flounder with my neighbour. I can't die having her think I was snubbed her, you know? Like, I don't... And there's also other things, other little projects Bill has to solve for his children. Like, there's a really, like, telegraphed story about the kid wanting help with his magic trick in school, and Bill Cosby's not there for him to help him with it, and then later on saves the day. But it's like, kid, your dad's dead and is a ghost. Does your little magic trick matter anymore? You know?
Yeah, plus, like, with that, he's like, he asks his dad for help, but yeah, he's like, I haven't got any time for this. And, like, you get this scene of him trying to call him, but he won't take the call because he's in a meeting.
Yeah.
And then the next scene, he's doing the trick, and then Bill Cosby just shows up and goes like, no, yeah, I decided this is more important than the meeting. Like, yeah, you that's it. You're not going to, like, have an epiphany or something. You're just going to turn up and go, yeah, I've changed my mind.
And it's such an obvious thing they're going to do. You're going to go, oh, I wonder how a ghost who turns invisible can help a kid with a magic trick. I mean, the kid obviously only wanted a little bit of help to do the trick. Maybe there was a key involved. He was like a Houdini escape act from a trunk. And it's like, your dad's a ghost. I mean, it's obviously going to end in, I'm picking up you, the child, and the box. And there's going to be an element of an invisible man does a thing. And it's mind-blowing. How can a child do this comedy? And you know that that's going to be the joke. So it's so obvious that that's where they're going. I'm kind of like, please don't bother with it. It'll just be rubbish. And it was rubbish and stupid and just kind of pathetic that Bill Cosby... I mean, I get it was setting up this idea he was a neglectful dad, but It was so patronising. And then, like you say, it had no effort to sort of show he changed his attitude. Does anyone recall what he did with his other two daughters? Because you mentioned the teenager one who had a strop, but were there other things?
The first one that comes to mind is like he kind of throws her would-be boyfriend out of the car. And
oh,
then
yeah.
She gets in a huff with him, even though he is a total loser. And even she should be able to see that.
Yeah, the boyfriend is, like, obviously this... I believe the word at the time would have been whack guy. Avi, I think you had a particular... Well, we were having a talk. We had to pause this film many times to rag on it. We couldn't wait for the podcast. But we were chatting about the situation in the car where it's just like, why is the girl letting in her boyfriend while her ghost dad sits there? Like, you wouldn't want your dad in the car normally. Why would you want a spirited dad who's invisible to sit in on this conversation, you know?
And even after that, like, the way that he reacted was just utterly heinous. Like, yeah, the guy's a loser and he's hitting on your daughter. You just tried to strangle him and throw him out of a car.
Yeah.
If you were alive, you should be in prison.
Well, he is Satan himself, apparently.
Oh, that is a good callback. That was one of the few jokes I enjoyed, was I didn't ever expect there'd be a film where Bill Cosby says the line, I am Satan, you better stop this car, or whatever he says. But it's just, Bill Cosby said, I'm Satan. That's amazing. He's a despicable dad, though. I mean, in more ways than just his neglect of his children. He's just a terrible person. Like, such a ludicrous, badly prioritising man. And, basically the upshot, to kind of get towards the end of the film, I suppose, is Bill Cosby doesn't so much learn a lesson as, oh, well, he just sort of... I don't know. he isn't a bad dad anymore. He doesn't really change. They have a weird moment at the end, which is more inferior. His oldest daughter takes after him in that she's ridiculous. And there's this weird moment. How is it, guys, that she ends up in a coma or injured or whatever?
Because she trips on the skate from the beginning. One of his, like, fake-out deaths.
Yeah, if he had died that way, it would have been so traumatising for the children to see their dad, the little kid, just to see their dad die by falling on a roller skate that she left there. That would have been disturbing if that had happened. And then the sister dies that way, or, well, knocks herself out that way. Oh, dear. So
no, she dies. She dies.
Well, she doesn't fully die. I mean, she becomes a ghost. Because, you know, that's what this comedy thought would happen next is, I know, two ghosts are funnier than one. And then probably the most frustrating thing about it is how she reacts once she's a ghost and is standing next to Bill Cosby and, you know, watching over her own, you know, surgery, basically. Does anyone want to explain that scene?
Oh, God. That was like the final nail in the coffin for... that character. I was kind of, I hate to say it, but slightly pleased when she fell down the stairs. I actually laughed instead of being concerned. And then she comes, and then she turns up here. The character is just as ridiculous as Bill Cosby. She doesn't make any sense. Because now she's dead. And then she's like, oh, I like being dead. I'm going to be dead forever.
That was mental.
even though, like, all the things she's been through the last couple of days with her ghost dad, you'd think she'd have a bit more of a grip.
Yeah, but so I like the novelty of floating around. I don't care about this. I don't care about life anymore. It's like, you can literally see yourself dying. Does that... I mean, the first thing I'd want to do is live. I mean, oh, the novelty of flying. I'm dead. That's horrible. I don't want to be a ghost is the only thing I would think. And it's like, it's the opposite. It's literally the opposite. She is going to stay a ghost forever because it's worked out so well for her dad. It's like the example was there. Even if you were an idiot, you've already been shown how being a ghost is awful if you want to live life. Oh. and they kind of prolong the stubborn teen and father thing for too long. And it takes Bill Cosby. This is the other thing, which kind of brings in the scientist that they set up for no reason at the start. Bill Cosby starts fading, or, you know, not existing at all. His ghost starts to fade and stuff. And it's like he's dying as a ghost or whatever, because the scientist said, oh, you don't last long, you know. So that's all, that him not existing at all is what convinces her to eventually get up and get in her own body and come back to life. Oh, just, oh.
but happily, conveniently, Bill Cosby's comatose body is just in the next room from where he passed out on the floor.
Yeah.
He's got the wrong name because they read someone's...
They read the taxi driver's
driver's license, which has a picture on it, and he's of a different race.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Makes perfect sense. The other weird thing is there's kind of a moment back before she falls on the roller skate that you enjoyed so much, Anthony. A teenage girl falling down the stairs, and you enjoyed it.
Only because it was her.
Yeah, the character, mainly, really. but for some reason, when it's all getting a bit much, and I think the neighbour's finding out he's a ghost or something, out of nowhere, the British scientist has presumably come on a plane and travelled to America to get Bill Cosby. I don't know how he knew the address or whatever.
He is. He's not like a ghost scientist. He's a scientist of exposition.
Yeah.
Because that's all he does. Like, his first scene is like, this is what's going on. And then his second scene is like, this is what you have to do now.
Yeah.
It's just like he's totally pointless. He's not a character. He's an exposition machine.
Yeah, and it isn't even logical. Like, fair enough, he has some weird science equipment that can suck the spirit of Bill Cosby to London. But then he doesn't just, what I assumed would happen is, just when Bill Cosby's about to get away with being in his job in reality, like as a ghost, he gets pulled away in the crucial moment back to London, and the guy's like, well, I said I had to do some experiments on you. And Bill's like, none of that happens.
Yeah, and it totally set that up as something that was likely going to happen, but then it just doesn't go with it.
No, I'll just turn up one day and go, hello, I've come here to help move things along to the conclusion. Oh, unbelievable. And so I guess the final bit of the film is Bill is back alive, his daughter's back alive, and they're all sodding off out of the hospital because you don't want those medical bills to crank up, especially when you haven't got life insurance, because he did get fired. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. He totally got fired, didn't he?
He did.
By his horrible bosses. And they had no upcomings at all. There was the bosses didn't suffer from firing him.
Yeah, there was no resolution to that kind of storyline. It just finished with, you're fired, and, okay, I just accept this as a good thing, because now I'm a good dad,
even though
because I've been fired.
Yeah, that makes sense. Doesn't have conclusion.
And the whole ending is just so rushed, and they kind of just forget to conclude a couple of things, and that's one of them.
Yeah,
because it feels like it's justified somehow, the fact that he's now a good dad.
Yeah.
Which it just totally hasn't.
And they pop out of the hospital, and all they do is go, call back to the weird taxi driver who's going to be outside, and Bill Cosby's going to scare him because he's angry, because I guess...
He's essentially going to tell him to go and kill himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how we should end our family film.
And then they do. Like, they just literally go, and we're done. Roll the credits. That solves that one. Like, just unbelievable. Just wall-to-wall baffling logic and ridiculous characters that made no sense and concepts that didn't make sense. Like, visual effects-wise, they were a little bit ropey. It was kind of dated. You kind of think, you haven't really pulled off this passing through walls thing, but alright, it doesn't matter. We get it. We get what you were going for. Just awful. Just everything about it. Just, no.
It really was. And I was... like, when it started, there was this kind of, like, moody shot over the city. And it didn't seem to fit in with, like, what the film was going, the expectations of the film. And then you realise, oh, directed by Sidney Poitier. Wow, that's, you know, that's quite the respectable name on this. And I'm sorry to say, but he does a terrible job of directing this film.
Just on a technical level, like, it doesn't quite edit together nicely, and things end, scenes end kind of a bit too abruptly. I mean, like, the whole movie does.
One of the main things I noticed was just the awkward editing and framing of some of the shots. And it's like, there's no one else you can blame but the director for stuff like that.
But then,
it was a terrible script, but you just made it worse.
I can't believe that having three writers, one of the, like, if one person had written it, maybe they deluded themselves into thinking it was good. But there should have been the other two writers should have gone, ah, this doesn't make sense here. And, oh, we haven't dealt with this thread of the story, and the plot for this doesn't go anywhere. No one at any point in those three writers went, oh, do you know what? No one corrected each other. They all just went, this is fine. Oh, just unbelievable. So, to wrap up then, guys, final thoughts, and maybe we need to pick a ghost from something, like, does that make sense? A ghost to rate it? What if it's a ghost of all the ghosts that have existed in pop culture? What ghost represents this movie? Is that okay?
Ooh, yeah.
I'll go first. Why not? It's my film. Yeah, I didn't like this film at all.
Thanks for recommending it.
Like, there were a few moments that I laughed purely because Bill Cosby was being, you know,
ridiculous.
His natural ridiculousness shone through a couple of times. But no, like the whole film just didn't try. Like, first of all, it was too fast. Yeah. And then the middle was too slow. And then the end was too fast. The jokes were, like, the potential was there. They really was. I mean, it's called Ghost Dad.
Mm.
And you've got Bill Cosby. But they do not deliver. The editing was really awkward sometimes. The plot threads went nowhere. They didn't wrap things up. I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, you've covered, like, the bulk of what needs to be said, really.
I was really disappointed.
Yeah, it should have really been, I guess if it had been a little either better or more hilarious, people would have remembered it. Instead of it being utterly, I'd never heard of it. So, like, it's not even like a cult bad movie, which I think it has the potential to be. I think it's so bad, it should be remembered as one of the great, terrible films, you know? But it's not even that, really. It's so strange. Do you have a ghost at all to rate it as?
Yeah, sort of. It's not a real ghost, but that kind of fits in with the film, I suppose. The ghosts, but not ghosts, from the Scooby-Doo, like, cartoon series. Like, there's the potential is there. You see them, they're scary ghosts, but at the end of the day, they're just kind of revealed to be the janitor.
Yeah, just utter not ghosts, not delivering at all on what they promised they would be, which is scary ghosts. Just rubbish, plain averageness.
There it is.
What would you say, Abby? Final thoughts and all that.
This is the first film in a long time that I've watched and has angered me into silence. Just sat there on the sofa, sort of quietly mumbling inside my own brain, going, why did you make that decision? Why are you doing that? What does this mean? What are you doing over there? You don't make any sense. Why have you done that? Just this endless cycle of questions that can't be answered by anything good.
Yeah. Did adults write this? Did competent Hollywood people come up with this and make it? Is that can't be right.
Yeah, there's just I don't understand how this got made on any level.
No.
Who looked at this and thought this is a good idea? Who
did that? Bill Cosby did. baffling. It's baffling. It's as baffling that they made it as it is baffling as a story.
Yes. Really?
Yeah. Yes, I would agree.
Do you have a ghost in mind, Abby?
I do have a ghost. It's the ghost of Christmas Future.
Okay.
Because the ghost of Christmas Past and the ghost of Christmas Present, I think.
From Dickens' Christmas Carol.
Yes. They have a theatricality that sort of neutralises them a bit and makes them enjoyable on some level.
Yeah.
Whereas the Ghost of Christmas Future is just this thing that sits there and has no emotion.
It points basically at despair and death and negativeness.
And that's just how this makes me feel. Like the Ghost of Christmas Future has just come and pointed at me.
Wow. Well, okay. I'll let the listeners think on that theory, because it's quite dark. And, you know, it obviously has stirred up some potent emotions for you. But yeah, I kind of get what you mean. It's kind of, it isn't as joyous and as like... Like, the two other ghosts are a little bit lighter, and this is just terrible tragicness. I don't think I need to say much more than... I think we've covered, you know, what we thought of it. I would just, like, be reiterating, you guys. So, if I was to pick a ghost, I guess it's ghosts from people... Like, in real life, when people tell you ghost stories about ghosts they saw... And the people who have convinced themselves they know they've seen a ghost, and you hear the story, and you go, "That is ludicrous. That makes no sense, and isn't proof of ghosts. You are not thinking of the logical like reasons for why your cupboard fell, or what the noise was, or you know." So it's like, "Oh well, I heard a ghost because a thing went past, and you know." It's like, "What are you on about? Could have been anything." And it's that kind of baffling notion of when they think they're onto something. And they're really not. And this film is just that. It's that, no, you haven't got a film here. Ghost Dad sounds terrible. Don't go through with it. And it's the same with people's ghost stories. You just go, you make no sense. So it's people's ghost stories. The terrible ones that make no sense. If you've got a very convincing one, or some dodgy phone footage or something that's definitely a ghost, well, that must be a ghost. And I wouldn't challenge you. But, sorry, I'm getting into a ghost rant now. I don't believe in ghosts because they're not real. But that doesn't stop me enjoying a film about ghosts. But what stops me is no humour, illogical characters, and poorly wrapped up family films. So there you go. I think that would be my thoughts.
Well done, everyone. I think that was a good, one of our better scoring rounds.
It's definitely being drop-kicked into an actual bin and not treasured on a shelf or put back in the film bin for other people to peruse. We're burning this ghost in an exorcism.
Put it in the film incinerator.
Yeah. I'm just going to smash it to death with a sledgehammer. I need to get some of this venom out.
You smash it, we'll burn it, and catch you next time for hopefully a much different film that we can tell you guys about in annoyingly specific detail and come up with pretentious words to say around what we thought of it. So, film bin out?
Yes. Film bin out.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.